Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was the message of John the Baptist and of Jesus. It was the message preached by the 12 apostles. It was the message preached on the great Christian Pentecost. It was the message of early Christian missionaries who preached in pagan lands. It is the only alternative to destruction. For Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." There has been a change in God's dealings with mankind. For many generations, God was patient with men in their sins. For long, long years, He did not judge them strictly for their sins. For many centuries, He permitted them to live in spiritual ignorance. But that time is no more. Acts 17:30 reads, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Underlying the whole sermon Paul preached to the pagan court on Mars Hill in Athens, from which this verse is taken, is the truth that the true God is a living God, and He is certain to judge men's sins because He is holy and cannot approve sin in any form. How is it possible, then, for God to wink at the sins of former generations? An understanding of the work of God will be appreciated the better when we examine the verse in view of the divine delay, the divine command, and the divine requirement. First, the divine delay. God winked at a certain times of ignorance, according to the Apostle Paul. What were those times of ignorance? Well, the expression refers to the long period when men were ignorant of the true God, when they worshiped images of wood and stone. It was the time before the Christian gospel was given through Jesus Christ. It was the time long before the time in which we live today. What does it mean that God winked at those times of ignorance? It meant He closed His eyes and did not come forth to punish sin. He acted as if He did not see the sins the pagan nations were committed, though of course He did. He permitted men to continue in their idolatry to show what the end of it would be and to reveal the necessity of people knowing the true God through Jesus Christ. It does not mean that God regards idolatry and the sins related to it as an innocent thing. Not at all. That He calls men to repentance today is an indication that He considers any other form of worship, other than the worship of God in spirit and in truth, to be most serious. Winked at, then, means to withhold the proof of noticing a thing which is, at the same time, a matter of distinct knowledge. God saw and took note of the evil in pagan idolatry. He saw the harm it produced. He resolved to give a revelation of Himself to all mankind as the remedy of that evil. He did not fall on the people who practiced it in an act of judgment. Look secondly at the divine command. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. That is a surprising statement for Paul to make to the court assembled on Mars Hill. For the men assembled there did not recognize the God of whom Paul spoke as their God. They had many gods before whom they bowed in acts of obeisance. They looked upon the Lord God as the God of the Hebrews, not the God of the nations of the world. And yet Paul declared that God was commanding, a word indicating authority, commanding men to repent. Not the Jews only, but all nations came under that command to repent. It included the Gentiles as well as Jews. All men were commanded to repent. As if that was not strong enough, all men everywhere were commanded to repent. Such a statement is consistent with the doctrine that there is but one God who is governor of the whole world. But even so, the Gentiles must have been surprised at the announcement that the God of Israel commanded repentance by all men everywhere in the whole world. The days of passing over the continuing transgression of pagan people were past. That is the essence of Paul's message. God had permitted the Gentile nations to go their own way without showing His particular disapproval of their conduct. He did not send special messengers to them, except in unusual cases like Jonah being commissioned to preach in Nineveh, nor did He send special prophets to them as He did to the nation of the Jews. He did not inflict upon them at once the punishment which their sins deserved. There was an indication of His long-suffering grace, and not an indication that He was careless toward sin. The command still goes out to all the nations of the earth. All men, everywhere, must repent. Third, look at the divine requirement. Repent. It is a word which occurs many times in the New Testament scriptures. It is the divine imperative for the dispensation of grace in which we live. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was the message of John the Baptist and of Jesus. It was the message preached by the 12 apostles when they went forth on the missionary assignment by Jesus. It was the message preached on that great Christian Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in power to indwell believers in this dispensation. It was the message of early Christian missionaries who preached in pagan lands the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the only alternative to destruction, according to the words of Jesus, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." It is the message proclaimed in the epistles written by the apostles of Jesus Christ. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what does it mean to repent? Since God commands it, and it is the only alternative to destruction, what does it mean to repent? The question must be answered in a threefold way. First, to repent means to change the mind, to have a different attitude. Particularly, it means to recognize sin as sin and God as holy. It means one sees sin as it really is in the sight of God and admits the truth to himself. Second, to repent means to change the emotions. One is sorry that he has sinned against God. He regrets that he has violated the holiness of God. The sorrow for sin dies in his heart, so he had rather have peace with God than to continue in sin. Third, to repent means to change the will. In the light of what the mind understands and the emotion feels, a decision is made by the will. One resolves to turn from sin to God. He resolves to be done with sin forever and to live in humble devotion before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now that is what God requires of you and of every other person in all the world. Have you honestly faced the nature and wrong of your sin? Have you sorrowed in your heart that you have sinned against a holy God? Have you resolved to turn from sin to God and cast yourself upon His mercy and grace for forgiveness? If so, you have obeyed the divine command. But if not, you must do so now, for no less a person than the God of heaven commands you to repent. Do not delay to repent. Father, you have made so clear to us the divine requirement that none of normal intelligence can misunderstand. Thank you for making it simple. Thank you for mercy, which is expressed in the command for us to leave the way of destruction in sin. And thank you for the grace which receives us and forgives us when we come to you in repentance and faith. Grant that many may come in this very hour for Jesus' sake. Amen.